97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be?
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Cox and Beau Matthews and our executive producer. That's Carl Middleman right there.
Pew, pew.
And, you know, I always enjoy a good story of good guys with gun stories.
Yes.
And heritage.org had a story from 2022 that said Governor Kathy Hochul out of New York said that this whole concept that a good guy with a gun will stop the bad guys with a gun, it doesn't hold up. And in fact, it does by the millions. In that year, more comprehensive study concluded roughly 1.6 million defense gun owners. See, it's a trend thing that I'm starting. It's not an assault weapon. It's a defense weapon. 1.6 million defensive gun users occur in the United States pretty much every year.
Oh, yeah.
And so the purpose of this show is to talk about all things guns, and then we get outdoors and play a little golf and go RVing and stuff like that. But I do love good guys with gun stories. Don't you, Mark?
Well, I do, because it's the truth. And, you know, Kathy Hochul got smacked down by the United States Supreme Court when they overturned their ridiculous gun laws. Now, they've since gone back and passed a few others that yeah. are right up against the line. And I'm hoping when the Supreme Court, in fact, I think it may be a case out of New York that they're looking at that may override what happened in Illinois as well. They've got to go back and address Bruin and these other decisions and let these states know, like Illinois and New York and California, you've gone too far. We're not going to allow you to infringe upon people's Second Amendment rights. You know, it was very disappointing. We talked a little bit about it last week that the court won't step in and do a temporary injunction in these cases.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, that's actually very sad.
I don't know why you couldn't find somebody who'd been harmed who couldn't stand up and say, my rights have been infringed to buy the kind of weapon I want to defend myself and my family because I live in, you know, the north side of Chicago and I can't defend my family if I don't have a gun. And then the restrictions are so onerous that you can't do that. Now, I mean, look at remember the scene from October 7th in Israel when you're imagine being at a concert or outdoors and you look up and you see paratroopers flying into your area firing down on you. Right. And then let somebody look me in the eye and tell me there's no reason you need a rifle with a 30-round magazine.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's wrong.
It is wrong. And, you know, even law enforcement, several law enforcement officers I know, and I know a bunch of them, they support law-abiding, safe ownership of guns because they know. And we should all realize that cops cannot be everywhere at every moment because when something's going down, calling 911 is, if you can get that done while it's happening, is just coming to pick up the pieces necessarily. You got to take care of things now, and that's why we oftentimes talk about training. I think cleaning your guns is also extremely important because it's going to familiarize yourself with that. We are going to be talking to Phil Balsamo of the range, and that's a great place to start. Or Razorback, that's a great place to start when you go in and to get familiar. And we both benefited from Mantis X, that digital laser shooting training. That's even helpful. And I would just recommend any time that muscle memory can be repeated over and over and over, it's just going to get you closer to being safer with your lawfully owned firearm.
Yeah.
First personal self.
Well, very, very true. Hopefully people are looking into that. And we're going to talk a little bit more about options coming up later in the show because we're going to go live to Las Vegas where the I almost said Lost Wages because I say that so often. But they're having the big SHOT Show out there right now that is one of the largest, I guess, gatherings of people in the firearms and munitions industry in the probably in the world that takes place in Vegas. It's going on right now, and we're going to get a report from the ground out there.
Can I give you, I love learning. When I talk to pros that are in, gun sales and things like that, I love learning. And with the acquisition of my new AR, I was talking about equipping it, a scope, all that stuff. And I was talking to somebody in the know about a great flashlight for it. And immediately the guy jumped down and he goes, dude, don't put a flashlight on your firearm.
I've heard that.
And I said, well, why not? And he goes, because if the bad guy sees the flashlight, he's going to shoot at the light.
Yes.
Have you ever thought? I've never thought of that. I would think the flashlight would help you see, especially the new LED light, flashlights.
I think you could potentially blind them with it, right? If that would happen.
No, you're making yourself a target.
If you're actually in a firefight, they've got something to aim at. It's the same, you could argue the same thing with a laser.
Yeah, absolutely. No, right. They said the same thing about that, which I thought, I just never even thought of it like that.
I had one for a while. I had the laser that would click on as you removed it from the holster. What right. I determined was the battery kept running down on it. The battery ran down more quickly than I expected it to, because every time you take it in and out of the holster, it turns itself on. Right. You have to remember to turn it off. And besides, playing with the dog on the floor with the laser. No, I'm just kidding. I wasn't doing that. It did run. I'm pointing a loaded gun at my dog. No, it was a joke. It ran out quickly, and I kind of regretted having installed the thing on there. It was kind of like gimmicky when I did it. I thought it was right. really
it
cool.
It was a toy.
Yeah, but if you practice enough, you don't need a red dot on somebody's chest to hit them. So you should, you don't need
it. It's very Hollywood.
Right.
It's very Hollywood.
I think you're right.
But just the the reaction of this guy that I was talking to that sells guns for a living, I was just like, I never even thought of that. I mean, you're creating. He goes, if I'm in a dark situation and I see a flashlight or a laser, he goes, I'm going to shoot at that. I'm like, oh boy, okay, so maybe I was wrong. So that's one accessory I don't need.
Food for thought there, for sure. I did want to talk. Speaking of law enforcement, if you call 911, it's going to take 10 minutes to get, if you're lucky, 10 minutes to get a response. That's if you live close to a police department. That's why self-defense is so important.
100%.
But it gets back to the issue of law enforcement. Did they do the best they can with the amount of personnel they're given by their municipalities and all that? In St. Louis County, Bo, did you know there are, is it 91 municipalities? That's the number.
It was 88.
Okay.
So, I think some of them have either disincorporated or merged.
Not all of them have their own police departments, but a fair amount do. Some of them contract with county police for their policing. Many of them still run their own small departments, much to the dismay of county leadership.
Sure.
And this week, Shalonda Webb, who was head of the county council, kind of floated a trial balloon of putting something on the ballot that would consolidate all policing in the county, including municipalities, under county council control, under control of the county. And I have to tell you, that blew up like a Led Zeppelin. Can I just tell you that? I mean, it went down like, the reaction, negative reaction from the municipalities who number one, don't want to be told by the county how to run their police departments, first of all. And it just reeked of the whole Better Together movement that blew up a couple of years ago, because they also wanted to consider, blending the St. Louis City and St. Louis County police departments. And people just didn't like that idea. I don't blame them. I'm sorry if there's a lot to be said for both departments. I have friends in both departments. But if you work in the West St. Louis County precinct in St. Louis County, and these two departments get blended, do you suddenly find yourself assigned one night to the north side because you just happen to be in the rotation? I don't even know how that would work.
Right, right.
But the apparently what I'm being told this week from sources over at the county council level is this thing never even made it into written form. It was just an idea that she floated, and the other council members never even got a look at anything on paper.
I think maybe the thought process, and I'm trying to think, very liberally, but if your St. Louis City Police is strained so much that help from the St. Louis County, that kind of makes sense if it's a shared thing. But to just automatically take over the entire region, as one department, yeah, I agree with you. Because I, you know that they're going to send people that, you know, don't live in North City or.
You know how much money the city and county got from the Rams settlement, right? It was like $700 million they split between the two of them. So the city of St. Louis, Mayor Tashara Jones, put together a commission to study different options of what they could do with their windfall. We got a look at it the other day. They've extended it a little bit, but they put up options online. They want residents to go online and vote for these options. To which what are your priorities for how we should spend this money? There are 11 of them that they whittled it down to. Not a single one mentions the word public safety. They're sitting on hundreds of millions of dollars. They're short-staffed in their police department. They're just now getting to the point where they can handle 911 calls again because they did hire some new people for that and start training them. And they don't want to spend a dime of all of this extra money they have on anything that would make the area safer. And crime is the number one problem in the city of St. Louis.
So you're saying that the preloaded options...
Yes.
Have nothing to do with safety.
Nothing. There's like a midnight basketball program, diversion programs.
Love that.
I mean, housing, free money for housing, subsidizing this, subsidizing that. Nothing about public safety. So it really kind of, in a nutshell, sums up what the problem is with leadership when it comes to the city of St. Louis and crime. They don't want to fix it. They do not want to seriously address it.
Could you imagine the events that happened downtown, including the arch itself? How many more people would go if they didn't see the headlines of how dangerous the city is?
Yeah, whether that's, painting with a broad brush or not, you're right. It's perception is reality for a lot of people, and it would make a huge difference. If you told them, we're going to take $75 or $100 million of this windfall, and we're going to invest in our law enforcement. We're going to invest in training, and we're going to hire some extra people, and this is what we're doing. That would make a huge difference in people's perception, but they won't do it. So anyway,
travel and tourism dollars would be awesome for this community, for this area, for sure.
Hey, if you are a golfer or a duffer or whatever happens to be, the big golf expo is coming to the St. Charles Convention Center. We're going to tell you all about it, how to get tickets, and a couple of bonuses that are available right now if you buy your tickets in advance. It's all coming up on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, and this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. A good time to gear up and stock up. Head into Razorback Armory. They've got the Sig Sauer Custom Works division and the Sig Legion series still in stock. Check them out at RazorbackArmory.com. All right, that's about shooting guns. How about shooting golf balls? We're gonna slide into promote the St. Louis Golf Expo, which people are chomping at the bit to get into. Dick Stevens is our guest. And Mark, are you missing your appointments with Dr. Green?
I do miss my irregular appointments with Dr. Green. I don't get out to golf as often as I'd like. Dick Stevens, welcome into the show. How are you?
Hey, guys. It's great to be on. And I think that when you talked about, ammo, there's a lot of ammo at the St. Louis Golf Expo on February 2 through 4.
Yeah, you know what? I don't expect to get my bullets back, but I expect to get my golf balls back. I lose a lot more of them than I should.
Well, what's funny is we've got so much of the brand new 2024 equipment. I'm actually here at the PGA show, the International PGA show in Orlando, because there's a lot of unveilings and debuts. And one of the things that's really fantastic about the St. Louis Golf Expo is it's one of the first golf shows really in the world that gets to show some of the equipment that came out just this week in Orlando. But the reason I bring that up is there are some really great deals on golf balls at these shows, and we always have a couple of really great partners at the golf expos, because nobody loses more golf balls than about 80% of the public. It's like socks or underwear. You have to keep buying them. So,
well, give people an idea of the scope of this if they haven't been out there for the golf expo yet.
You bet. This is our 10th one we've done in St. Louis. We do these all around the country. This show in St. Louis is one of our best shows, and it's really for two reasons. One, the St. Louis golfer is very informed. The public golfer there is somebody that reads up on what's going on with trends. We're always impressed with the knowledge of the St. Louis amateur golfer, whether it's equipment or things that are going on at different golf courses or golf travel. And because St. Louis is such a locally or centrally located golf location in the United States, there's any number of places that a St. Louis or a Kansas City golfer can get to, whether it's Mississippi or Alabama, Florida, even some places in Texas. So the golf travel at our show is just as important as the golf wellness, like with our SSM wellness zone that we have with our title sponsor, or Pro-Am, who does a nearly 4,000 square foot store. It really has something for everyone, but the show is very inclusive. This is not a show that's just for scratch golfers. The boom of COVID put 35% increase in the sport, and we want to be welcoming to anybody here that's interested in the game.
Well, I know I could use some tips for sure. And I mean, I've always been a casual golfer. I don't know that my skill level has improved a lot over the last 25 years. I enjoy doing it. You know, that's what I love to go things like this because it gets me in the frame of mind for spring. And my guess is next week when it's in the 50s, they're already going to be the diehards out there are going to be playing already, right?
No doubt. I mean, we do the shows in the winter because the weather is inclement. It's before the season starts, so everyone's kind of excited and pent up. And the PGA and LPGA tours are on full swing on television. And this is a great chance to knock off the rust. You know, I talk about wellness, and the reason that SSM is involved is because people sometimes focus just on equipment. And, you know, the human body is really the 15th club in the bag, and we've got some great wellness experiences on there. But when you look at the opportunity with clubs, fitting is everything. And we're going to have no less than 8 manufacturers at the golf show, all doing demos. Pro-Am would love to set up a fitting appointment with you. And then PXG is bringing their traveling simulation studio to the show, and where you can do a live fitting right there and walk out with your clubs.
Nice.
That's crazy. You did say the human is the 15th club in the bag.
No doubt about it.
What if they're in the bag? What if they've been celebrating at every hole?
Well, if they're in the bag, then they probably their handicap's probably going to suffer. But I suppose if there wasn't a little bit of libation, golf would have suffered maybe 60 years ago.
Thank you for pointing that out. That's called swing lube.
That's right. Aiming oil.
That's
you know,
right.
That's a good segue because our show has some really, really cool libation stations. Michelob Ultra brings a great 19th hole to the show. They're going to feature Kona, Big Wave, and Neutral and Cutwater in their experience. And then we've got some really cool libation experiences in the spirit world. We're excited to announce that Dewar's Scotch will be at the show doing a sampling.
Wow.
Captain Morgan, Crown Royal, Tanqueray Gin. We have a great local distillery. They're called St. Louis Distilling right there in St. Charles. He comes every year. So there's an opportunity for the big kids to enjoy and relax and actually just kind of enjoy their company. Bring whoever they want to on the younger kids. Saturday is Kids Day, so all kids 12 and under are free. They get a passport card when they walk in. They walk around the floor and get it stamped. So we really want, you know, we want to encourage families to come out. But the show hours are super simple. And after hours, the show closes at 5. It's really an easy experience in there. But we have 20 hours of programming from Friday to Sunday next weekend.
Yeah, I was going to say, I want to mention again, February 2nd to the 4th at the St. Charles Convention Center. And you can get tickets online now. There are some advantages to getting them early. Is that right, Dick?
No doubt, guys. When you go to stlgolfexpo.com, right there on the home page, you'll see two kinds of tickets. One is our general admission ticket, which I believe now has 10 offers when you walk through the front door.
Okay.
We have golf balls that you're going to get for the first people that are in line each day. And then we've got rounds of golf. And if you buy your ticket online, you get one to Old Kinderhook. You get a bunch of great offers in your goodie bag. And then our Players Tour Pass, which is kind of the Charlie the Chocolate Factory ticket. It's only 250 of those we sell per year. there's $600 worth of offers in there for $69. And if for folks that are looking for a lot of great value and want a lot of perks at the show, they get to wear this really cool badge around their neck and they get treated special. And those are all available. We have ticket discounts for seniors, for active military, and it's free parking, which is fantastic out there. A lot of great food, too.
Yep, that's outstanding. Dick Stevens is our guest, talking about the St. Louis Golf Expo, February 2nd through the 4th at St. Charles Convention Center. It's ironic that we're talking about this because just this week, I don't know, Mark, if you've seen the reel that's been going around about the gal. Looks like she's at a Top Golf type of facility. And she swings and goes over the edge. Did anybody send that to you?
I didn't see that. Yeah, I mean, they've got nets there, right? But still, they do.
Well, they have bumpers they have curbs on the road, and that's a problem for some drivers. Yeah. But I've never been to Top Golf. Is Top Golf part of your St. Louis Golf Expo?
You know, they have been involved with our show. This year, I think they're going to take a year off, but they've been there the previous 3 years. But they are at four of our other shows on tour. And I've got to give a little hats off to Top Golf. What they've done for the sport is bring in a lot of people that may not have played it before, because sure, you know, people who have been to Top Golf know that, you know, you can hit five shots and just dip your toe in the water of the game. You could be out there for 2 or 3 hours. You could play it traditional. You could play it for points. But what they've done is they've brought folks into the sport that are looking at it to just enjoy themselves. And yeah, and golf is an amazing, long historical amateur game, especially in St. Louis. But I think I say this on every radio interview we do on these shows: the 9-hole golf game is as important as the 18-hole game. It really is, because folks that can't go 8, 5, 6 hours on an experience with warming up and maybe having a beer afterwards, 9 holes is 90 minutes to 2 hours of golf. You hit all the clubs in your bag, and you can get back to a schedule. And I think this younger generation is saying, this is something that's important to me. And that's kind of where Top Golf's come in. They've helped us understand that.
Well, keeping that attention. You know, and honestly, I've been a driving range guy all my life. I've never been a huge fan of the full, you know, 9 or 18. I've enjoyed it when I've gone. But driving range, man, that's where it's at. And Mark and Carl and I keep talking about going and having lunch out of Top Golf, and that hasn't happened. So, anyway.
We'll have to make that happen. So Dick, I'm anxious to come out because I'm at the point in my career where I don't know if new irons are going to help me, but I do know there's some technology in some of those new drivers that can kind of make up for the fact that you're not swinging the club as hard as you used to, right?
It's incredible. And, yeah, and it's not just the head, it's the shaft. You know, I'm 55, so I've lost some swing speed. I'm kind of the bullseye target, I suppose, of the middle American golfer. But when you look at fitting, and it doesn't always have to break the bank. It's incredible what you can do with fitting. A person who can swing the ball 85 miles an hour on their swing speed, which really almost any able-bodied person could do that. With shaft technology, it can kick the ball out there as far as somebody that is swinging 100 or 105 miles an hour on their swing. And that's the nature of golf. Why not take advantage of that? And all these things that are going on with the golf ball being dialed back a little bit, that's not going to affect the amateur golfer. Mm-hmm. That's for guys that are on the PGA Tour. They're going to lose 5, 6 yards. Everything about the game right now is to keep the ball in play and keep people playing. And for folks that are just getting involved and just want to dip their toe in the water, we've got a lot of stuff in there from last year's models that are for sale, and we have some used clubs. And we like the fact that we're repurposing golf clubs. We don't want to throw things right away. And there's tons of equipment available at the show, more than any show on our 6-city circuits. Honest to God, we have close to 12,000 square feet of golf equipment sales in this show.
Well, I tell you what, Dick, we appreciate having you on. We're looking forward to getting out there to the Golf Expo at the St. Charles Convention Center again, February 2nd to the 4th. Kids under 12 are free, and you can get your tickets online right now at stlewisgolfexpo.com, stlewisgolfexpo.com. Dick, we look forward to seeing you out there. Thank you.
You guys are great. Thank you so much, and thanks to your readership and leadership, and we're looking forward to seeing you guys out there.
All right. Sounds good. But Dick Stevens there talking about the St. Louis Golf Expo that's coming up here shortly. I don't know what it is, Carl.
Yeah.
I go to the golf course. I stretch out every time. I stretch out and get my clubs out. I walk up to the tee, and I identify as Tiger Woods. But for some reason, My swing doesn't look like his.
You're the gopher from Caddyshack.
I am the gopher from Caddy. I am. It's just weird. I thought you could identify as whatever you wanted these days, and it would work out. But apparently, that's
not in
the case.
Sports.
Apparently not. All right, coming up here on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, we're going to go out to Las Vegas, where our friends are at the SHOT Show in Vegas. If you're into the Second Amendment, if you're into shooting and hunting and all that, this is apparently the place to be. We're going to find out what the new trends are in the industry with our friend Phil from the range coming up. We'll be right back. Radio and the Great Outdoors, and boy, you talk about going outdoors, we're going way outdoors. One of my favorite places, and that is Las Vegas. My wife does not agree with me on that, I'll just have to tell you that. But I'd love to be there this weekend. They're doing SHOT Show, the third biggest show they do all year long in Las Vegas, and what a great time. We got Phil Balsamo from the Range St. Louis West joining us right now, and I jokingly say to him, I didn't know you could take phone calls at the craps table, but you let me know, Phil. Is it all right? You got time to talk?
Absolutely. I can take a short break, for sure.
That's good. That's good, man. I know you're out there looking into probably future trends and things you guys want to do at the range. How big is this thing?
Oh, it's insane. I mean, there's so many people from the buyer's perspective. There's a bazillion people here. I think that's an exact number. And from vendors, there's like half a bazillion. It's a huge show. So much to see. So many people to talk to. It's overwhelming and a great time all at the same time.
I'll bet. Is it just vendors and exhibitors, or is the general public is allowed into this, right?
No, general public is not allowed.
Okay,
in
all right.
This
I didn't know
this
that.
Is only FFLs, buyers, trainers, suppliers, that sort of thing, and industry insiders for the firearms world.
But we have a show called Second Amendment Radio. Couldn't we get into this show?
I would bet you could. It sounds like a plan for next year.
Next year, Bo, you and I are going to Vegas for SHOT Show. What do you think?
Yep.
Dude, I love that. It is a great show. I've heard and talked to people out there so many times. What is like the coolest new thing? You've been out there a couple of days already. What is the coolest new thing that you've seen that you thought, wow, they really stepped up their game?
Oh, I mean, there's so much. I mean, there's so much out here. Anything from, I mean, like military vehicles, and you know, military equipment and civilian equipment. So the one new cool thing, truthfully, on the defensive handgun side, just new compensators coming out on guns, just to make guns easier to shoot and that sort of thing. And it's not really like new cool, but you're seeing it be more prevalent, which is cool to me. It's not anything super fancy, but it's practical and it's making its way to everybody pretty quickly, which is a good thing to see.
Yeah, I saw a picture of somebody out there on the firing range. So apparently before the show starts on maybe Wednesday or Thursday, they bus people out to a local firing range where you have an opportunity to shoot some pretty cool guns too, right?
Yep. So we spent the day, that happens on Monday before the show starts.
Okay.
It's an all-day event at a local range, and lots of vendors out there showing their new cool stuff. Anything we shot a pump action AR, which was interesting. We shot Angel and Elizabeth actually shot a Barrett out to 1,000 yards. So we got to do anything from shooting at 5 yards out to 1,000. So it's a good time for sure.
Wow. I bet that was a good time. I'm just trying to get the scope of this thing. 13.9 miles of square space is what they brag about. How do you even see it all? I mean, if you're there for 5 days.
You don't. I mean, you just simply don't. You have to be strategic in your plans as far as who you're going to see and when, and trying to follow maps. I think I spend about a quarter of my time looking at the map, trying to figure out where I have to turn and go to find the next vendor. It is chaos. But it's, if you plan it right, you can definitely get to a lot of people and have a lot of great conversations.
It's like getting lost at IKEA. I hate that. But, you know, it is cool when you can see all that. You know, there's more and more concentration on the AR, you know, the scary black guns. As far as technology for them, what would you say is the coolest thing? I heard of a company called DigiTrigger, I think, that can accelerate your shooting. I don't know if you've ran into anything like that, but accessories for the AR platform, so many people are getting into it. What would you say to that, Phil?
Oh, man, there are. When it comes to the AR, a lot of us will call it Legos for adults, because it's you can build up on it however you want and add so many different things. So, yeah, for accessory-wise for the ARs, we've seen all sorts of new developments in rails, rail covers, optics, lights and lasers. Everybody's got, you know, the newest, latest, greatest, for sure. That's what they all tell us anyway. But there are lots of accessories, newer triggers, triggers that do that allow you to shoot a little bit faster, a little bit more controlled.
Right.
All sorts of options. I mean, truly limitless options when it comes to the AR platform.
Yeah, I'll bet. I know there'll be lots of people out there, probably ammunition suppliers. We were told on a recent show that components for ammunition is getting to be a bit of a challenge, and that may be driving up prices. Is there any talk of that out there? Do you find that to be true at the range?
Yeah, so we asked some of the manufacturers while we were wandering around what to expect in this coming year, and truly they were a bit ambiguous in their answers. Pretty much leaning towards it's not going to change much. Components have been hard to get, and they don't see it being any easier. Still being able to keep up with the current demand. But if we have some sort of big spike because of, you know, whatever the reasons are, it could definitely put a strain on the supply chain.
Phil, I was looking at the website for SHOT Show. For anybody that wants to look into it, go to shotshow.org. But they had said that they had manufacturers that were up in their game in new rifles coming this year and new handguns too. Is there big differences that you're seeing, or not necessarily? It's just kind of options that they're adding to them.
Yes, just more options. So, you know, you have a company like Smith & Wesson, who's been making guns for a really long time. They just came out with a lever gun that I don't think that they've done in a really, really long time. So that's new to them. It's not necessarily new technology, but it's new to them. You have companies like Taurus just released a bolt-action rifle this week at SHOT Show. Again, not new technology, but it's a new rifle for them. So you see a lot of that, where Daniel Defense, very well known for making fantastic ARs and precision bolt guns, just released their first handgun. So you see some of that, and actually their handgun is a little bit new tech. It's kind of interesting. But I don't know if we're going to see it on the market right away or not, or if they're still developing it, but it's coming soon. So that sort of stuff you're seeing, new stuff from companies, but not necessarily, super innovative or super different.
Is it kind of like when you go to the auto show and they have concept cars? Do they have concept displays out there of what, you know, where we're going to be in 5 years or 10 years in the Second Amendment world?
Yeah, it, to some degree, yes. We have, and maybe not even necessarily in the firearms world. You know, I mean, in the firearm area, you see right. stuff like that from vehicles, optics,
clothing.
clothing, range systems like the benches that go into ranges and lighting stuff and things that literally some companies got put together the week before they came out here for SHOT Show.
Yeah.
And it's like 85% functioning. So it's kind of cool to see.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I just realized this because I looked at the sheet for SHOT Show. The very first SHOT Show was right here in St. Louis in 1979. So they've been doing it that long for the industry. And boy, I'd say it's grown a little bit, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Have you done anything but SHOT Show out in Vegas? Because when I go to Vegas, when my wife and I go to Vegas, we love to go to some of the shows, eat the good food, that kind of thing, aside from gambling, which we'll get you back to your craps table in just a minute. But
yeah.
Have you done anything outside of that, or is it all SHOT Show business for you guys?
So it's kind of interesting because you can do dinners and drinks and stuff and still be working, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that's what I tell myself. So, we've been able to get out and enjoy no shows, but we've been able to get out and enjoy the nightlife and eat some good food and have some good conversations with people. So it's an enjoyable, it's busy and chaotic, but it's what you make of it, truly, just like anything.
I'm sure. Is this the kind of thing where you're there actually putting in orders for the range for the next year, or are you just getting ideas and making contacts?
Both. It's fostering relationships and in some cases placing orders, in some cases meeting new people and starting the conversation so that we can bring info back and decide if it's something we want to carry or something we want to pursue. It's very much a relationship event for us.
Well, it's a goal now for Bo Matthews and I to take the show to SHOT Show next year. What do you think, Carl Mittleman? I think we need to work on that. It says right here there are more
he'd have to be there.
2,500 members of the media cover the show.
There are. Yep. When I was researching, I did see the press credential section.
Ooh.
Yep.
It'd be an easy thing for you guys to get, I'm sure.
All right.
Now we just got to get it sponsored. I wonder if the range had any money to sponsor.
We got to bring that up and ruin the whole thing, huh? Well, listen, Phil, you and Liz and Angel have a good time out there. We'll look forward to hearing some stories when you get back.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Phil Balsamo.
Yep. Enjoy.
Out at the Range St. Louis West, and he's out there with a couple of his co-workers at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas, where obviously they're a couple hours behind us, so it was nice of him to give us some time here as we record the show.
That's why there are no clocks in Vegas.
That's right.
And the craps table is usually quiet this time of the morning out there.
Yeah, I know. So he's yeah. I'm thinking in my head as I'm listening to our interview with Phil there, and you ask him if he's doing anything else in Vegas other than working, and I'm thinking now here's Phil's thought process. I know my boss is listening to this. How do I answer this question? John's back at the range going, oh, that's what Phil's up to this week, huh? Yeah.
That's right. When my wife and I left Vegas the last time, we were like, I think we're done here. I think we've done it all. We've seen it all. We've, gone to a bunch of shows. Well, then they throw in the Sphere. Now, the Sphere is, I can't even get an idea of what this thing is, but I want to see it. UFC just signed. We just had Mike Chandler on last week. The UFC just signed for an event.
Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. And boy, you talk about going outdoors. We're going way outdoors. One of my favorite places, and that is Las Vegas. My wife does not agree with me on that. I'll just have to tell you that. But I'd love to be there this weekend. They're doing SHOT Show, the third biggest show they do all year long in Las Vegas. And what a great time. We got Phil Balsamo from the Range St. Louis West joining us right now. And I jokingly say to him, I didn't know you could take phone calls at the craps table, but you let me know, Phil. Is it all right? You got time to talk?
Absolutely. I can take a short break, for sure.
That's good. That's good, man. I know you're out there looking into probably future trends and things you guys want to do at the range. How big is this thing?
Oh, it's... It's insane. I mean, there's so many people from the buyer's perspective. There's a bazillion people here. I think that's an exact number. And from vendors, there's like half a bazillion. It's a huge show. So much to see. So many people to talk to. It's overwhelming and a great time all at the same time.
I'll bet. Is it just vendors and exhibitors, or is the general public is allowed into this, right?
No, general public is not allowed.
Okay,
in this.
All right.
This is only FFLs, buyers, trainers, suppliers, that sort of thing, and industry insiders for the firearms world.
But we have a show called Second Amendment Radio. Couldn't we get into the show?
I would bet you could. That sounds like a plan for next year.
Next year, you and I are going to Vegas for SHOT Show. What do you think?
Yep. Dude, I love that. It is a great show. I've heard and talked to people out there so many times. What is like the coolest new thing? You've been out there a couple of days already. What is the coolest new thing that you've seen that you thought, wow, they really stepped up their game?
Oh, I mean, there's so much. I mean, there's so much out here. Anything from, like military vehicles, and you know, military equipment and civilian equipment. So the one new cool thing, truthfully, on the defensive handgun side, just new compensators coming out on guns, just to make guns easier to shoot and that sort of thing. And it's not really like new cool, but you're seeing it be more prevalent, which is cool to me. It's not anything super fancy, but it's practical and it's making its way to everybody pretty quickly, which is a good thing to see.
Yeah, I saw a picture of somebody out there on the firing range. So apparently before the show starts on maybe Wednesday or Thursday, they bus people out to a local firing range where you have an opportunity to shoot some pretty cool guns too, right?
Yep. So we spent the day, that happens on Monday before the show starts.
Okay.
It's an all-day event at a local range, and lots of vendors out there showing their new cool stuff. We shot a pump action AR, which was interesting. We shot Angel and Elizabeth actually shot a Barrett out to 1,000 yards. So we got to do anything from shooting at 5 yards out to 1,000. So it's a good time for sure.
Wow. I bet that was a good time. I'm just trying to get the scope of this thing. 13.9 miles of square space is what they brag about. How do you even see it all? I mean, if you're there for 5 days,
you don't. I mean, you just simply don't. You have to be strategic in your plans as far as who you're going to see and when, and trying to follow maps. I think I spend about a quarter of my time looking at the map, trying to figure out where I have to turn and go to find the next vendor. It is chaos. But if you plan it right, you can definitely get to a lot of people and have a lot of great conversations.
It's like getting lost at IKEA. I hate that. But, you know, it is cool when you can see all that. You know, there's more and more concentration on the AR, you know, the scary black guns. As far as technology for them, what would you say is the coolest thing? I heard of a company called DigiTrigger, I think, that can accelerate your shooting. I don't know if you've ran into anything like that, but accessories for the AR platform, so many people are getting into it. What would you say to that, Phil?
Oh, man, there are. When it comes to the AR, a lot of us will call it Legos for adults, because it's you can build up on it however you want and add so many different things. So, for accessory-wise for the ARs, we've seen all sorts of new developments in rails, rail covers, optics, lights and lasers. Everybody's got, you know, the newest, latest, greatest for sure. That's what they all tell us anyway. But there are lots of accessories, newer triggers, triggers that do that allow you to shoot a little bit faster, a little bit more controlled.
Right.
All sorts of options. I mean, truly limitless options when it comes to the AR platform.
Yeah, I'll bet. I know there'll be lots of people out there, probably ammunition suppliers. We were told on a recent show that components for ammunition is getting to be a bit of a challenge, and that may be driving up prices. Is there any talk of that out there? Do you find that to be true at the range?
Yeah, so we asked some of the manufacturers while we were wandering around what to expect in this coming year, and truly they were a bit ambiguous in their answers. Pretty much leaning towards it's not going to change much. Components have been hard to get, and they don't see it being any easier. Still being able to keep up with the current demand. But if we have some sort of big spike because of, you know, whatever the reasons are, it could definitely put a strain on the supply chain.
Phil, I was looking at the website for SHOT Show. For anybody that wants to look into it, go to shotshow.org. But they had said that they had manufacturers that were up in their game in new rifles coming this year and new handguns, too. Is there big differences that you're seeing or not necessarily? It's just kind of options that they're adding to them.
Yes, just more options. So, you know, you have a company like Smith & Wesson, who's been making guns for a really long time. They just came out with a lever gun that I don't think that they've done in a really, really long time. So that's new to them. It's not necessarily new technology, but it's new to them. You have companies like Taurus just released a bolt-action rifle this week at SHOT Show. Again, not new technology, but it's a new rifle for them. So you see a lot of that where Daniel Defense, very well known for making fantastic ARs and precision bolt guns, just released their first handgun. So you see some of that. And actually, their handgun is a little bit new tech. It's kind of interesting. But I don't know if we're going to see it on the market right away or not, or if they're still developing it, but it's coming soon. So that sort of stuff you're seeing, new stuff from companies, but not necessarily super innovative or super different.
Is it kind of like when you go to the auto show and they have concept cars? Do they have concept displays out there of what, you know, where we're going to be in 5 years or 10 years in the Second Amendment world?
Yeah, it to some degree, yes. We have. And maybe not even necessarily in the firearms world, you know, I mean, in the firearm area, you see right. stuff like that from vehicles, optics,
clothing.
Clothing, range systems, like benches that go into ranges and lighting stuff and things that literally some companies got put together the week before they came out here for SHOT Show.
Yeah.
And it's like 85% functioning. So it's kind of cool to see.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I just realized this because I looked at the sheet for SHOT Show. The very first SHOT Show was right here in St. Louis in 1979. So they've been doing it that long for the industry. And I'd say it's grown a little bit, huh?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Have you done anything but SHOT Show out in Vegas? Because when I go to Vegas, when my wife and I go to Vegas, we love to go to some of the shows, eat the good food, that kind of thing, aside from gambling, which we'll get you back to your craps table in just a minute. But
yeah.
Have you done anything outside of that, or is it all SHOT Show business for you guys?
So it's kind of interesting because you can do dinners and drinks and stuff and still be working, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
what I tell myself. So, we've been able to get out and enjoy no shows, but we've been able to get out and enjoy the nightlife and eat some good food and have some good conversations with people. So it's an enjoyable, it's busy and chaotic, but it's what you make of it, truly, just like anything.
I'm sure. Is this the kind of thing where you're there actually putting in orders for the range for the next year, or are you just getting ideas and making contacts?
Both. It's fostering relationships and in some cases placing orders, in some cases meeting new people and starting the conversation so that we can bring info back and decide if it's something we want to carry or something we want to pursue. It's very much a relationship event for us.
Well, it's a goal now for Bo Matthews and I to take the show to SHOT Show next year. What do you think, Carl Middleman? I think we need to work on that. It says right here there are more
he'd have to be there.
2,500 members of the media cover the show.
There are. Yep. When I was researching, I did see the press credential section.
Ooh,
yeah,
It'd be an easy thing for you guys to get, I'm sure.
All right.
Now we just got to get it sponsored. I wonder if the Range had any money to sponsor.
Oh, we got to bring that up and ruin the whole thing, huh? Well, listen, Phil, you and Liz and Angel have a good time out there. We'll look forward to hearing some stories when you get back.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Phil Balsamo, out at the Range St. Louis West, and he's out there with a couple of his co-workers at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas, where you know, obviously they're a couple hours behind us, so it was nice of him to give us some time here as we record the show.
That's why there are no clocks in Vegas.
That's right.
And the craps table is usually quiet this time of the morning out there.
Yeah, I know. So he's yeah. I'm thinking in my head as I'm listening to our interview with Phil there, and you ask him if he's doing anything else in Vegas other than working, and I'm thinking now, here's Phil's thought process. I know my boss is listening to this. How do I answer this question? John's back at the range going, oh, that's what Phil's up to this week, huh? Yeah.
That's right. You know, and when my wife and I left Vegas the last time, we were like, I think we're done here. I think we've done it all. We've seen it all. We've, you know, gone to a bunch of shows. Well, then they throw in the Sphere. Now, the Sphere is, I can't even get an idea of what this thing is, but I want to see it. UFC just signed. We just had Mike Chandler on last week. The UFC just signed for an event in September of this year. What is that? I don't know. All I hear is it can look like an eyeball to people flying in and mm-hmm. out of Vegas.
I saw it as we flew into Vegas from Hawaii. You can see it. It's right next to the airport.
Oh.
When I first saw the image of it, I thought it had been photoshopped. I didn't even think it was real.
It doesn't look real.
I bet not.
But it's fantastically built.
And one time they lit up the outside of it like the Death Star. So what? Carl actually thought he was flying into Star Wars somewhere.
Yep.
And he said, I told you it was real.
I knew it was real.
It's the Death Star. It's right there.
So, Mark, your little sheet there says it's the third biggest. I'm guessing the Consumer Electronics Show is the second biggest. And I wonder what the first one is.
In Vegas?
Yes.
I don't know.
I believe it is the... AVNs.
Adult Video Awards.
Yes, it
yeah.
is.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, that's not the biggest trade show there.
It's a trade show.
They may be trading something, but that is not one of the biggest trade shows in Vegas. I'm just telling you. There's no way.
That show ticket comes with a shot.
Network. Yeah, no.
That's so bad. All right, let's wrap up this show before we get in any more troubles. So a year from now, that's the goal. Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, live from SHOT Show. That'd be great. Okay, have a great weekend, you guys.
Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
Stay warm. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.